Mr. Mackenzie Reel 10. Do you remember that first day in the trenches?
Yeah, going in up there with three tonners taken up with it up to that one, and one fight onto the back end where the Australian regiments were, where the Australians had just pulled out. Well, you'd leave a few, there'd be a few, just a few Australians in the front position, where they would show you how to go in. But your advance party was most there for to take them out, and they would leave. They were pretty reasonable, the Aussies, as well.
Yeah, what did you think of the Australians?
Well, the first time we hadn't met them, I didn't meet them, right, because I was coming up with the other lot, the lads. And when we got into line, it was stand two straight away, and we stood two, looking for things, what you couldn't see. And of course, you're looking at your firing position, is what you do. And then the worst thing was that you had to find your bearings. You're looking at their bearings. You've been in there, you've let yourself a hutchie or such, whatever it was. You had to find your way there, find the latrine, and that type of thing. And then you'd come out and you stood too. Then when you came off, stand too, because we're in the rear. So we went up in the like stand that way, we came down over. The officer came down and he would be showing us some of the things. And then your sergeant would be there. And he would come in. And then you had to go, like the corporal would go first, the lance corporal would stand, lay the machines in there. And whoever was on duty, I don't know whether I went on stand two straight away for the first 4 hours. Or that way, but it would be due 4 hours on and 2 hours off when that day. And then that was the up to 10 o'clock, because it was still pretty light them days. So, to give you an idea there, so people could sort themselves out. So, I must have been, because I got the bloody worst hutchie in the bloody world, because mine was only a gas sheet, or a gas sheet, it was a blinking crate, stuck across the over an opening. It had holes in, but you had to go in. And there's still trees on the, logs on it. A bit of other tarpaulin over the top and a few stones and that on.
So what was a hoochie then? What?
Hoochie then was just dug out what the lads had dug out and put in. It was like a trench what they had dug. And you lay in them once and there was like a bed on the top. Like a ranch on the side. And you just put if you had a sleeping bag, you would only have your... When we didn't have the sleeping bag the first time. So all you'd done is put your crown sheet on, your blankets on you, and that was it. You made a pillow with your kit bag, I suppose, there. Well, you wouldn't have your kit bag then, because you wouldn't take it up with you. So you'd make somebody go up to make a pillow up in that form. And you lay like that.
So this was off the main trench, just like a dugout off the main?
Yeah, it was just off the main trench. That was it, just up the trench.
And how many people did it hold?
It would, the one I was in, it was only hold three. It was only three. And there was only two at any given time.
So how big was it, approximately?
It would be 6'6" by about three to four foot wide.
And how deep?
It would be about 2 foot in the ground. That's all it was there. And it was a bank on the side where you would enter the bank. So the hill was there and you were just backed over. And the logs was laid that way. So you were like high and low at the bottom, and that was what that trench, that was what that which was like.
And I think it's just a tarpaulin covering the top.
Yeah, just the wood. There was the tree branches would be cut down. They would be put over. They'd be put sods over. Then they put stones over that, and that was what it was. So you can imagine being there for a bit. The rains and that once you're dripping, that type of thing.
And your bedding, what you were describing, the bed, it was just wooden.
It wasn't a wood bed, just the bottom of the rock and just lay like that. They weren't there. Some of them had wire. If you had somebody who had been ditching one, they could have like a wire with a wire bed, and that was put across, and that would take you off the ground until you such time. But these ones had been made up and that, like everything else. The line was just getting consolidated then when we were up the first time. Were in the back end, and some of them was quite reasonable. But that was the first one I ever went into.
What about heating? Were they heated at all?
Heating's your body.
So there was no other method of heating?
No, not there. It was pretty cool. Wasn't that bad then, September? September wasn't bad then. It was just coming cold then, but it was that what it was.
So what about clothing? Did you have winter clothing then?
No, we just had the what would come up with. What would come up with? We went straight in there because they'd gotten quite a high knit one, so I think they lost a few men on that one. So we were relieving them for that reason. You always relieve somebody if they'd been, had been a that line. That was what we're up there.
Well, what sort of state were the hoochies in after the Australians had been there?
They were pretty clean, they didn't though, but you still had to clean up after that. You had to clean up. Why you got to clean the trenches and you go down and clean that one? It's just to make sure that if there's rain or anything else, you're going to show footprints where you're living in and everything else. So if they came across, that's putting people off. So you're trying to hide your tracks where you're at. Didn't say that it would work, but they knew what most people was doing it. That's what it was.
Did they fill up with water? I mean, you mentioned the rain.
Water. Oh, well...
How did you bail them out?
Just brushed them. That was all it was. It drains all over the place, and that was what it was. Just drained. Some of them was that there, but the back end wasn't that big. Trenches weren't that big down the back end on the reserve point. Because when we came out there, we had to go up in the front because we were doing the patrols. We were the first one to go after two days in the line. I say about there when we got in, we started to do the patrols. So there'd be 4 year or 5 year, take them out, you go up. Of course, a couple of corporals are going first, right? You know what I mean? To sort themselves out because he had been up. So if it'd been Bland, Childs, or whichever it was, he would go out, look at them, and they would take the first one. See? 7, 8, 9, right? 7, 8, 9 would be there, right? And that's what it was. So they would go up 7, 8, 9, and whichever it was at that time. Then you didn't do. Then we started. Then we first spoke the next 3 or 4 or 5 days. I don't know. It was one of the officers, maybe. I don't know which one went out, but one of them had to go out and do a recce patrol. That was what they called recce patrols. Then you got to find the minefield. Another one.
We'll come on to the patrolling a little bit later. I was just wanted to ask a little bit more about your sort of daily routines and the conditions in the trenches themselves. What about meals and what did you do for meals?
Meals was hard. It was field ration, what they call like a field ration type thing that day. You went up there with a hard tack in that.
What would they consist of?
Whichever they put in the boxes, they would just bring boxes up. So it would be them 10 men packs what we'd be getting at the time. I should imagine we 10 men pack. Bringing them up, put them down, and they might cook something at the end. You might get one cooked meal because we were down there.
You were further back down the hill.
So they'd be cooking that one. You see, there'll be a kitchen where they could cook and do that one.
Where
I can't remember that one, but it'll be there. But that's what, because if you were down, back in the, you could get fed, right? But it's only when you open the front trenches at you. Yeah, lift it.
Right, so you were getting hot meals in the reserve line.
Yeah, that's where it would be. Yeah, we'd get that.
They call it a reserve line.
Well, there'd be water then, so you could have tea and everything else. Washing facility was hard. You would just get a water because you had to get water, do you see?
Well, how did they get the water to you?
Well, but you can't, big, what come again? Canisters
of water.
Canister of water.
Sort of petrol tank.
Petrol tank. Five or eight gallons, I think. I don't know, I'm quite sure they are. Bring them up, 4 gallons, I think it would be there, and bring them up.
And the meals were brought up as well. You described these ration packs that were brought up.
If you weren't on you, some would stop where the position was. One section would go down, get something to eat. Next one would go down, and that would be the way. Eat it up, get yourself a drink of tea. And then come back.
So yeah. There was a kind of rotor
would be getting washed and changed when you're there, get yourself washed. Then the next one would go down, get the meal, come back again. Then you would go in when you'd been ready. You would have to take over from the next one. So everybody had the turns up there, and it would be done in say an hour and a half or something, that type of thing. And after that one, you'd be put doing other things like. Digging new trenches, or fixing the hutches what was there, because some had been been bombed that day, so you were like preparing the things and everything else to try and get used to the the life what you're going to live for the next year or whatever it was you're going to be there for.
What about latrines?
The latrines, well, you never think of them. You just went in and just come out. That was all it was.
Whereabouts were they?
They were just
in relationship, in relation to the hoochies and the
they would be trying to keep them as long as when you're in the back, and when you're at the back, right in the back, you kept them further back. So there'd be about two, maybe three of them, right? Maybe four if you're, you know, that one. Maybe it'd be four. So wherever you were, you'd have to go into them. And it would be further back as you can. And all it was a big hole in the ground, as usual, a big box, or an orange box over it, or a beer crate, or whatever it was. And that was it. And that was the whole toilet. And of course, in the where you stood, there was some that were there. You try to keep away from doing smells and everything else, but to keep the animals there. So what you used to do was there was a hole sometime, there was tubes in the shell cases, what the shells was put, shell boxes, that's you see. In the other end of that one, you used them. Try and keep that away as well.
Who had to dig them?
The gooks, but we dug some. We dug a couple because the one of them had been like used, well used. So everything else, you just go around with your pick and shovel because you carry your pick and shovel, you know, in the army. You always carry the pick up on your back and you gone up there, so you dug in. And it was just dug them in, make sure they were all clean.
You said gooks, or so, is that the local?
Yeah, it's the workers, what they brought up. It's the man that comes in and does the basic work for you.
Were these Koreans?
Koreans, yeah, Koreans.
Were the Korean army or
something? No, that's the rocks. These men are just men that come up, got fed, come up, done the duty like the workforce, moved for so long, and then back again.
Did you have much to do with them?
No, you didn't do much with them. Most of the time would be done by HQ. The only time I'd do anything with them, was when we're up in one of the line, like 355 or something like that. Then I would have to travel all the way up from the front line, from the front positions, walk all the way back. The bugle section or something like that, and come up, and then you'd have to pick them up, what they had, pick the rations up, the tins up, because they had a little mess tins with their meal in, and take them down. And it happens where I'm on 355, he lost the bloody things. They lost these people. So I had to take them, go down, find the met there, and take them down with us. And they were all in the bloody hut. But at the end of the day, it came that time. That was the only time I had a couple of time with them people.
What about general cleanliness? In the hoochies, rubbish, how did you get rid of that?
Well, you had to clean it up every time. You make sure that one, you didn't want to keep as much possible as there. You didn't want to keep food in, because, like everything else, when you first go up, you learn things the hard way. So if you take it, like some people, maybe take a bone or a slice of bread, if you put it in there, and it walked, you know, for a fact that it was there. If you pinch the bloody stuff or something like that, you know, or you got some of that way cleaned, and you put it down, you could guarantee there was no safe place for them people. Not for them. Not for them bloody rats up there.
Well, you mentioned the rats. Was it a big problem?
Yeah. Oh, it was a big problem.
Right from the word go?
Right. It was worse from the word go, because everything else you weren't cleaning. And you've got to remember the Americans, the gooks, and them was, some of the regiments weren't that clean. And they were leaving lots of materials. What?
Yeah, obviously, I mean, some talk of the Americans not being as clean as the British.
Americans,
was that true?
The Americans, if the Americans would be in a position, there was always tins. They were throwing tins because they thought that if anybody got to come, they'd make a noise with the tins. So they throw them out. So you're going, the best thing to do was go and pick them up as best you can, because we had to clean them, but you couldn't get them all up. But you tried to get as many as you can. You also had to wash your hands. Because the next time we went up, when they came in the next day, first time we ever took over from, you got to mean it was frost, and it was nearly 40 degrees then. And it's rather cool in 40 degrees.
So you had to, you got rid of the cans.
All the stuff like that, if you can get there, keep your place tidy, and just, you most of the time you'll be on that type of thing. But the second time, the first time, we just hope they could get you broke into the place, right? You weren't in the, well, I'm saying they got killed, so they've got to attack. You can be attacked from any part, you know what I mean? So you're just like up there for 20 odd days, I think, we're up there.
This is your first tour?
First tour up there.
20 odd days?
Yeah, we're just close, about 20 odd days, I think, was about up there.
So what about your own personal hygiene? Talk a little bit about latrines and tidying up your hooches and your trenches. What about yourselves, washing?
When we first got in, it was, as I say, we're down there, so you could get water. You could get some water, right? You could wash yourself. Wasn't that way, but you got water. Use your towel. You had to dye them when you first got there. We were white and we dyed them into green as usual. Things like that. And you washed, you shaved. You had to get inspected as usual. You always had to get inspected. Didn't clean your boots because it wasn't, you know, the black thing was that way. But
so there were still regular inspections?
Oh, yeah. Well, when they first started, they were clearer then, but they got used to it because they were just the same as us. They were tired. They were just the same what we were tired. When you're out there, you don't sleep when you're in them places, and you've got to pick up your sleep when you can. That was one of the things you've got to learn over there.
So, were you able to wash your clothing at all?
No. Just change your socks and everything else. You could, down there, if you were lucky, when we were first there, you did, because there might be in a stream or some water. I can't remember what it was, but if you're doing that one, if you hung them up, and you were shifting, you had to remember you can't carry them. So you've got to just carry what you've got and nothing else. Change them. You could change your socks there. Sometimes you couldn't change. You couldn't take your shoes off when you were on sand.
I was going to say, you were there for what, when you said about 20 odd days.
Oh, well, that wasn't so bad. 28 odd days, not bad up there. It's when you get up the next one when you went up.
Yeah, so no opportunity to change your clothes in the 28 odd days that you were there.
Yeah, you could get your underwear changed. You change your underwear, you change your vest and that one. But you just change them in and put them to one side. You didn't clip wash them, you didn't take them down or anything else. You've got to remember you're on the move and what happens, you've got to be prepared to go forward.
So what precautions did you take against rats and things like that? When you mentioned the rats.
You couldn't do, no, you couldn't do nothing. You just had to let them go where they wanted to go. You couldn't stop them.
Were they a huge problem then?
Well, let's put it this way. Do you like sleeping with a rat? Well, there was nothing unusual to see. Two or three in a coming down to see what they could find. They could walk across the walk box on a wood, on timber. They can walk over the top and over the woods. They were just coming across the wood. They didn't drop. They just walked across you. You just hope that you didn't see them in the night thing.
And what about other insects? Or?
Oh, there was the crawling one. You just got used to it. You put dust and powder, DDT down. But you're putting DDT down. Let me see, they're putting that down. You use some of that stuff. You had to clean. You had your foot powder. You put foot powder in your feet so you can make your shoes. If your socks last a bit longer, that was another thing. Well, I've got foot rot. I had foot rot when I got there. I don't know how I got it, but I used to get my feet painted. So, and then get the foot powder on.
Was your clothing lousy then? Did you suffer from lice and things like that?
No, it wasn't. It's only on the if you're up on the top end where you got it really bad. You didn't realise that money. Just first time you just had to keep making yourself mobile and keep yourself your head down because every night you could hear you could see the lightning. It wasn't the lights or the flashing lights. It was the big guns coming off of you. They were like going across you or going in on the other side of you. You know, somehow would be getting hit. Somebody would be getting hit every day. They would be hammering there, and it may be the Americans across that, or this brigade. But there was always pounding going on. Never stopped at that one. There was a continuous barrage as they've gone up.
Well, what sort of, talking particularly about the first time you went up on the line, what sort of things were you doing during the day? What about daily routines?
First thing is anything else. If it was morning, so you see about, if it was 6, see early morning light was 5 o'clock.
First light,
right, if it was first light, so say 5 o'clock would be there, you'd get up, you'd go around, get them what was up, right, and sleep, right? Bring them, that was up, bring them to the line, stand two, they're all stand two. Then you stand there till, say, 7 o'clock when you moved away, so they could, there you could see what was coming on, and you were safe. Then you'd move off, and as I say, you'd go down, go back to your huts and everything else, get your tins. The men that had to go for the teas first or the breakfast, you know what I mean? They would get their things, right? The other one would clean his weapons, he would be cleaning his weapons, while the other one was washing, you know, something like that. And there'd be, all this, then you'd have two in each trench, there'd be one in each, you know, section there. It was only like, say, 6 men on the standing in the trenches. Then you'd go down and everybody would get themselves cleaned and washed in that one. Then, after that, come in again and if you hadn't been to sleep in the night time, someone would go to bed because you'd been up. Right? And you would have you'd have 4 hours or something like that. Then you'd have to, then the weapons had to be cleaned. You had to go and see the trenches, make sure the grades and all that, and there was nothing moved. I mean, there.
How did you keep your weapons clean in those conditions?
Well, you used to pull throughs, make sure the pull throughs has gone through them. As soon as you went through them, you had to check them, the brains had to be checked. The Bren gun was clean, you had to kind of help the Bren gun out to clean his and everything else. Make sure then you had to clean your mugs and everything else, make sure that everything was working in working order. When we first went up, somewhere we used to go across and fire into the bank, something maybe he's going to try them out.
Excellent, imagine it's quite important to work.
That's it. Make sure they work. Once you fire them, you have to go across and try that one.
And you mentioned grenades, and were they kept in certain places?
All was in the trenches, every trench had grenades in.
Where were they kept?
In the boxes. In a box at the end of a trench. And they were covered with that one in the trenches there.
I presume you kept your own personal weapon with you all the time?
Yeah, well, you slept with that one. It was your comforter.
What did you have? I had a Sten gun.
I had 5 mags. I always kept them there too because make sure I had that one. But I had to carry a Bren gun. I had to carry Bren magazines as well. We always tried to get when you went up, when we first went, we only had one pull up, but pull through, you know what I mean? You soon learn to change your things. And if you want to see your gut clicked, you know, your clothes got clicked, well, you had your home. You know, yeah, and you had to do your sword and everything else. That was another thing you had to do. Make sure you're clean. Because like everything else, there was barbed wire. And a lot of people didn't know where, missing everything else. Your gaiters, well, there would be wooden gaiters, would be the putties in there. I think we had putties on there. So we'd have putties on there at the time. And take them off and you had to match them.
Really just sort of general maintenance of weapons. Personal maintenance.
Go down and yet whoever had to go down and whichever one section maybe had gone down, talk to the officer, say what was going on. Then you had to take across here, maybe taking up somewhere and showing part of where the part was. And you'd go down that way and they'd say that way. But you always had the first week there was very frightening for some of them. Because when they stand still, they were seeing ghosts and all sorts. And the first one I ever got was a bloody man trying to shoot us with a Bren gun. Another one, the next week, we were trying to clean them. We're trying to show how to clean the grenades. And that one, we're doing the grenades. And one of them put the grenade on the bloody, on the top of the pillars, right? And he had to throw it away. So we had to throw it across. That was another one who went across. And the other one says, you stupid bugger, how do you do that? And the other one does the same. So you had to stop that. Make sure they didn't do it again.
So what were they doing? They were actually pulling the pit.
They were cleaning the pit. They're cleaning them, but when they test them, instead of putting them off their hands, they were putting them on the trench, on the sandbag. And they were trying to pay them. When they put the blades on, they were feeding it in with the thing. But they forgot that if they put the blade on, it was still going to go off with the blinking things off. That's what it was. You know, you've got to remember when you're in the army, you're only taught, some people maybe only throw 3 or 4 grenades in their lifetime, if they've done that. And even then, I don't think they do that one. So you've got this where you've got all this material. It's for the fight you've got to safeguard your life or use for it against the other one. So you've got to use them.
I suppose this is where your training comes in, isn't it?
Well, this is where you learn straight away. You soon learn after that one how to safeguard everything else. And if you're daft enough, well, men get killed through daft things. A walk in minefields, and a lot of people done that. Daft people pick things up as well, and didn't bring it in. Never do that. One rule you never done, but somebody would do it.
Picking things up off the ground and the
traps. Yeah, one brought a mic, I brought a grey. One walked through it, one went the wrong way and went through the line that day when he got killed. Three of them. That was there. So then you maybe get somebody that was cleaning his rifle off, you know, setting his rifle away.
Accidental discharges.
Aye, that's it.
Was that common?
Well, it wasn't there. The first time you were there, you were like everything else. You're sitting there and you're not having this 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. No, you want to. You start to do it by yourself and getting yourself in. So, what you're doing, your training, your basic training comes into practice then. And you haven't got much time to learn to be there because you're up there. You've got to be an expert. You're not there, you've got to be an expert. You soon find out which mark and day which, and that's it. And which one, how many could go on, and so a lot of people would go, a lot of people moved out of there. Out of there, when we're up.
A lot of people moved out?
Well, like everything else, the nerves and everything else. Put out of there and somebody took your place.
It must have been quite stressful, I suppose, that first time in the line for young lads who obviously never faced that sort of thing before.
Yes, it's embarrassing for anybody to do that type of thing.
How did you feel yourself? Were you nervous? Or?
Nah, just everything else. I just looked at it and said, if you could keep your head down and everything else, you had to put your tin hat on. In them days, you had to put a tin hat on. You soon learned to forget about that way and whether you're going to come across your kite or everything. But if you're going anywhere, it was easy to put your cap comforter on. At the end of the day, you got that blatancy about it. Because it meant to bring much noise and hurt your head. So you learned that one. But if you stand too and you're not just coming down, you had your tin hat on.
What about the other lads? Were they frightened? Did you?
Oh, well.
Do you think the others were apprehensive?
Well, you talked to each other. You went across. You didn't go near. I mean, you stood there in the trench and you'd gone to somebody up. And you maybe moved them another one. But it was only like a far along to see if nothing was happening. Maybe you could hear something. Or see just even a deer run or something like that. There's somebody, for some other reason, just thrown something, you know, in violence or something, thrown a brick. You know, brick makes a big difference. At night time, you can hear anything in the night. It's twice the sound of anything else. And when you hear you see the flashes and everything else going up and the mortars and that coming on. Oh, who's that? What it is? You suddenly don't know that you're in it, not them. It's not only that side, it's this side. And when they come across there, you could see them hitting the front of us sometime. And the first thing, we did get a barrage on, weren't
we? I mean, you mentioned things that happened from side to side. Were you fairly isolated in your particular stretch of trench?
No. You communicate. It's only the communication trenches. You're in one point, but that's the guard at that point. But you still have to go up the other part and make sure you can join up to each other. And I mean, it's a force you've got to be used to seeing what you're going to advantage for the machine gun and everything else. But this machine's going to crossfire with this one, and that one's crossfiring on this one. And you've got the other one, and you've got your radios. You've had to, obviously, when you've got to go, you've got to remember, although the officer's there to do it, you've got to learn and know to do it.
What about sentry? Did you do sentry duty during the day?
Oh, I was on a night, on a day. You always had somebody in the front. It was not necessarily at the point where far we're back, but there was always somebody there. But if you could get that, we didn't all stand there, but there would be somebody moving about. But if you were going to gun up and put some wire up on the on the front, on the minefields would have been destroyed or something like that, you know, then you'd be paying for that. You'd be getting, you'd go and get the gloves, get it, and the rolls might be, the rolls be taken up for you, then you've got to go and get that.